The international break is wrapping up and the Premier League is back. We're back for the Game Week 30 preview. We've got some chat on the announced fixtures for some double game weeks down the stretch. We've got all the usual waiver picks, hidden gems, the most hidden gem pick, and a new stats feature to mention for the Draft FC users. So let's get straight into it. This is episode 166 of the Draft FC podcast. Welcome back to the Draft FC podcast, the podcast website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official Draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host for another game week preview going over waiver options, hidden gems and general Premier League chat ahead of game week 30. Now, if you clocked off last week after game week 29 and have only just resurfaced into the draft universe, I don't blame you, but it may mean you missed a couple of bonus episodes that we've had out over the weekend. In which first one, I answered some of your questions. And the second one, I took one of those questions and took a slightly deeper dive into a question looking at the relationship between overall FPL points scored and wins in head-to-head leagues to basically try and work out how much of it's luck and how much of it's skill. There's been some interesting conversations that's come out of that. So go and give those a listen or a watch after this one if you haven't caught up with those already. And the links to those will be in the description below. For those OGs who listen to the pod, the second bonus episode, I will say, is far easier to digest with the video in front of you. So if you've not yet ventured onto our YouTube channel, now's a great opportunity to go over there, subscribe to that so you don't miss out on any future episodes as they drop on there. And again, there'll be a link for that in the description below. Anyway, how are we all feeling about our teams? We've sobered up from the Game 29 night before, rolled over in bed Sunday morning to find some right dog sitting in there. So some work to do this week for sure. Now, I'll also point out now, and I mentioned it in the little intro there, a small but significant feature update for Draft FC users, which can be found in the waiver planner tables, which I know are very popular. There is now a column labeled top 100 waiver percentages. And if you're watching on the video, I'm just going to highlight that now. So what we've done using our own global rank feature is we've managed to, for each league size, pull out the top 100 high scoring leagues and kind of put them up on a pedestal as leagues that we may want to pay a little bit more attention to because they're clearly doing something right and they're clearly racking up the points. And what we want to do is not only show you the waivers that everybody's making, but also highlight the waivers that those top 100 leagues are making. I think this is a really useful stat, particularly for those last minute free agents, you know, pre-deadline. If you've forgotten to make some moves or you need to make a last minute change due to an injury or whatever reason, you can quickly sort by available players, look at who the big dog leagues have been bringing in on the waivers the day before, and then use that to quickly pick out a last minute gem. So yeah, something I'm going to reference a little bit more in the podcast moving forward because I think it is quite a useful stat to look at. And I think I've even got it mentioned in a couple of the player picks in this one. Now, I'm recording this episode on Tuesday the 26th of March. So any team news, injury developments or press conference info are up to date as of then. And of course, subject to change, there are still a number of international games to kick off over the next couple of nights, so still plenty of time for injuries and phantom injuries that we'll have to pay attention to. Some of the players I'll be discussing in this episode include the entire Fulham defence, the entire Chelsea defence, Diego Jota, Matias Cunha, many more, so let's get straight into it. So as always, going to kick things off with Waiver Watch, and rather than go through the list of names like I usually do, I'm just going to save you the hassle, really. The main players that were coming in last week were all pretty much irrelevant moves in the context of today because they were all just moves for that blank game week. And the players moving out, again, really just a list of Bournemouth players that everyone was dumping to bring in some of those blank game week players. So, yeah, not really much useful info to pull out of there. In terms of fixtures, now you'll start to hear people, myself included, talk about the run-in, which is basically the remaining fixtures the team has from now until the end of the season, which is around 10 games for most. Some it's slightly more, some slightly less. This won't always be relevant, of course, and your short-term pickups are still very much in play. But obviously, if you're making, you know, a blockbuster trade move at this stage, then the final quarter of the season is usually a lot easier to analyze and evaluate a trade versus, you know, if you make a trade in game week 5, for example. Now, we were waiting on a number of games to be rescheduled, and quite a few of those have now been confirmed, which makes the remaining fixture schedule virtually set now, barring a few games that still need to be confirmed. But that shouldn't affect the next 5 or 6 game weeks or so now. Chelsea notably have played the fewest games so far, and they had 3 games that needed to be squeezed in before the end of the season against Spurs, Arsenal and Brighton. We now know that Chelsea will go to Arsenal in game week 34, so that just leaves the games against Spurs and Brighton to squeeze in, and they will likely fall in game weeks 36 and 37. Both of those will not show up. When you glance at the fixtures on the main FPL site, you know, you won't be able to see at a glance on there that Chelsea still have those extra 2 games. So bear that in mind when you're weighing up Chelsea players, either on the waivers or in a trade, because at this point, really, fixtures equal points. And having 2 extra games to give those players an opportunity to score could be a big differentiator. We got a full announcement of fixtures that were moved into game week 34, giving 7 clubs double in that week. Based on current form, none of the doubles really stand out as being particularly good. Say Arsenal's double of Wolves away, Chelsea at home is probably the best, but Arsenal players are hard to come by on the waivers, so that doesn't really help the majority of us that much. Out of the sort of other teams, the mid-table clubs, Palace have a double, which is 2 home games against West Ham and Newcastle. Again, that might be something we look to target near the time, but right before that, Palace face City and Liverpool, so that will likely have to be a fairly last-minute pickup, as there's not really much point in holding them for that long. But for me, it's probably, as I say, a couple of weeks too early to plan for that week, and I don't think really any of the doubles are worth tearing your team up for. Certainly not at the moment anyway. If you're really interested in the fixtures and all the different permutations that might still be to come, Ben Crellin remains the GOAT for fixture analysis. So good that there's really no point in myself or anyone else putting any brain power into it. I would just say, if you've got any doubts or queries about where certain fixtures might fall, just go and check out Ben Crellin's spreadsheet, and he's fairly active on Twitter, so just go search for him on there. In terms of game week 30, in terms of this week, there's 2 standout fixtures. Chelsea away to Burnley and Fulham away to Sheffield United will be the ones that I'm targeting and will also reference heavily in some of the player picks that I'm making in this episode. Now, in terms of injuries, we're in the international break, so you'll hear of lots of players pulling out of their respective international squads for varying reasons, certain players that didn't go away on international duty at all. The vast majority of them will appear absolutely fine in the Premier League at the weekend, or at least the week after. Especially this international break, there was, you know, not many important games. There were a few qualifiers still to go, but, you know, for the likes of the England team, 2 fairly uninspiring friendlies to play with a number of key personnel missing already. So yeah, don't read too much into any of the injuries that have been announced and people pulling out. We'll have to wait and see what gets said when the press conferences start to roll in around sort of Thursday time, but I'm expecting the vast majority of those names to not be that bad. The other, really, I guess the main injury to highlight is Sven Botman for Newcastle, who's had to have an operation on his ACL. So that will rule him out for the rest of the season and probably a decent chunk of the next one. And again, fairly obvious who that opens the door for in that Newcastle team, who we'll be highlighting in just a few moments' time. Let's get into the main picks. And the first one I'm going to highlight is Jarrad Branthwaite for Everton. Very solid player. He's had a really great, you know, debut season in the Premier League. Everton now have a couple of trips to Bournemouth and Newcastle, followed by a home game against Burnley in game week 32. Which, that in particular, that fixture, I know will make Everton defenders popular. So why not go a little bit early? Everton are on 8 clean sheets for the season so far, which puts them only behind Arsenal and Liverpool. The clean sheets are split fairly evenly between home and away games, so that doesn't matter. And given how tight things are getting for that final relegation spot, I would expect Dyche to approach these games in his usual manner and try and keep things tight and try and nick a win and just not trying to lose the games, basically. It could be a very low tally, I think, this season that sees teams safe in the Premier League table, that is. In 2004-05, West Brom survived with 34 points. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a team survive with 33 points this year. But so that's a bit of a side note. We'll have to wait and see. Another defender to highlight is Van de Ven for Spurs. He was dropped like a stone last week with his injury, but the expectation is that he'll be back for their home game against Luton this weekend. Not a bad run of fixtures over the next month or so for Spurs before things start to look a bit more grisly, with games against Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and City all likely to fall between game weeks 35 and 37. But yeah, I think this week, Luton at home, for those that drop Van de Ven for Dragosin, it's a fairly easy move, I think, to drop Dragosin and bring Van de Ven back in. I'm sure that'll be popular on the waivers this week. But despite that, I would still rather have a Fulham or a Chelsea defender. So let's have a look at those defences. Starting with Fulham, they've had the same back four now for the last four games. Two clean. So let's start by having a look at Fulham. They've played the same back four for the last four games now. Two clean sheets in that time. So I don't think we're going to see much deviation. And just looking at their squad on paper, this, to my eye, seems like the strongest back four that they've got, and certainly has the most potential looking ahead to next season too. Robinson and Castagna as the fullbacks. Now, Robinson's ownership has absolutely soared to 83% in 10-team leagues, which is high. Castagna lags behind a bit on 56%, and then the centre-backs are a bit lower with the current and, I think, main pairing now between Tosin, Adebayo and Bassey. Who Tosin, his ownership is in hidden gem territory below 10%, and Bassey's slightly higher at 17%. But it means there'll be enough of these available in your respective waiver piles to stream in for this week at least. Now, the Chelsea defence, definitely going to be popular this week, but also could be the sort of players that you pick up and hang on to for the rest of the season. In terms of who's going to start this weekend, I think Gusto is almost certainly going to start at right back. Chilwell should almost certainly start at left back unless he somehow picks up an injury or stubs his toe tomorrow. So they should be popular, and they would be my first choice if they were available in my waiver pile. At centre back, I think De Zazzi and Chalobah will be the main two. The only thing that could disrupt that and could disrupt my predicted lineup is whether Levi Colwill gets deemed fit again, so he could squeeze his way into there. But I think for this weekend, it's probably going to be that back four that I just mentioned. In 18 leagues, Thiago Silva remains the highest rostered Chelsea defender still. And I think we've clearly seen over the past month or so that Poch is very much favouring the other options. And I think that's because he's basically planning for next season. And there is every indication that Thiago Silva will not be at Chelsea next season. His contract runs out at the end of this season. And the rumours are pretty much nailed on that he's going to go back to Fluminense as he approaches his 40th birthday. So I think, yeah, the Premier League is maybe just getting a little bit too quick for him now. I'm sure we'll see him have a couple of sort of farewell games at the end of the year. But for now, yeah, I think Gusto, De Zazzi, Chalobah, Chilwell will be how Chelsea's back four line up at the weekend. And I would happily grab any of them. Back to Fulham briefly in midfield now, and Wobi, who's been growing in popularity over the last few games since his return from injury, five appearances and he scored twice. A very solid performer even in the games that he hasn't scored, and a decent streaming fifth mid option if you're looking for something new. Elsewhere, Elanga for Forest is another one I've got my eye on. He's got two home games coming up against Palace and Fulham now. Not the worst run-ins as generally down the stretch as all the teams go. We've obviously got to caveat that with the fact that Nuno and Forest generally are shit. So we have no idea which Forest we're going to see week to week. On paper, they could destroy teams, but unfortunately for Forest, games aren't played on paper. Elanga has definitely made himself the go-to offensive asset for Forest above Gibbs-White, above Hudson-Odoi, would any of the other strikers. I think he's the main man I would go to if you had free choice of all of them. Ownership is just 31% in 18 leagues, so that rose about 10% if we just hone in on the top 100 performing draft leagues last week, so which again is telling, and I expect that to rise again this weekend. Now, the final midfielder in the main section here is a big name, Diogo Jota. Now, I discussed Jota a bit in the episode, the one before last, in the first Q&A pod, but such seems to be the popularity of his name, the frequency of questions that involve him at the moment, I felt the need to bring him up again. Ownership in 18 leagues is about 50%. We saw his ownership creep up in the top 100 leagues last week, as I'm sure a few managers, similar to myself, were wrestling with the idea of getting him in early versus fielding another player that was going to play in the blank game week. And I think if he did pick him up early, definitely turned out to be a good decision. The expectation is that it may be not until game week 31 that we see him back. So hopefully that keeps him under the radar for this week. He's played the equivalent of 12 full matches so far and has 15 attacking returns, which puts him right up there amongst the best in terms of minutes to output this season in the Premier League. And I think should be an important player for Liverpool in the title race, providing he can stay fit. So yeah, he will be very popular. He's available in my main league and he's penciled in for a waiver in for myself. So, and I would probably be encouraging the majority of you to be doing the same if he's free. Up front, another one returning from injury and a player that's really rocketed this season is Cunha for Wolves. His ownership dipped to its lowest point since pre-season in game week 26 when it went down to 71%. Since then, managers have started to stash him away again and it now stands around 83% his ownership, which is still far below his season high of 98%, which is staggering when you consider he was well off the board on draft day. If he's free in your league, he's someone that is almost certainly going to be, you know, better than one of your current strikers that you're sitting on. His output is more or less the same as Diogo Jota's, which is impressive, but bear in mind it's taken Cunha nearly double the minutes to achieve that. So again, just hammers home how good Jota has been with the minutes he's had this year. And if you were debating between the two, Jota would definitely be first for me. But Cunha, I expect to be another popular pickup this weekend if he's managed to stay free in your league. The other striker to highlight here is Semenyo for Bournemouth. His ownership dropped after the blank across most league sizes by a decent chunk, actually, which has surprised me a little bit. He's not the most reliable performer, but the peaks are high. And that second half performance against Luton in game week 28 was phenomenal. He was unplayable. In 10-team leagues, his ownership is now just under 80%, which is reasonable, I think, but it does mean he's going to be available for a few of you out there. It would be a close call for me if I had the choice between Semenyo and Cunha, as their output so far isn't actually too dissimilar to each other. Their fixtures are similar. Really, the only thing that would edge it for me is the fact that Semenyo is fresh and in form, and Cunha is coming back from an injury, so I might even just edge it to Semenyo, but I'd happily have either of them. Let's get into the hidden gems now. So these are all players with generally less than 10% ownership. Now, I always like having a goalkeeper to talk about because it just, I think, evens out the chat a little bit. And we finally saw a goalkeeping change, Burnley. We saw Muric come in for Trafford. Now, it's taken 28 weeks for company to give Muric a go. And what happened? Burnley got a rare 3 points at home to 10-man Brentford. So I'd say it's a reasonably good omen that we are going to continue to see Muric in starting 11 now. And I'm expecting him to line up again away at Chelsea. Trafford's ownership actually jumped last week because Burnley were one of the few teams that were playing. So there would have been a number of disappointed managers to see him bench. Not that you were missing out on many points there. Muric is near universally available and just one to mention really if you wanted to swap out your second keeper for somebody that's actually going to play, so it's probably more relevant in larger leagues. It'll only take a bad result or two and we could well see Trafford back into the action, so just value the Burnley keeper as you should value the Burnley keeper and don't go doing anything silly. In defence, Jamal Lascelles comes back into the conversation. Newcastle got two home games now against West Ham and Everton. Their form has been very up and down lately. I mean, you could say it's been poor. They've lost 5 of the last 10 games in the league. We've seen enough of Lascelles this season to know that he can still perform well for them. Newcastle players generally are not top of my wish list at the moment, but for many of you who may struggle to find better streaming defenders in the waivers, then, you know, he's definitely one to look at. Newcastle managed 8 clean sheets so far this season, and Lascelles was on the pitch for 5 of them. So they generally do quite well when he's there. Finally, a striker to mention, and that's Enes Unal for Bournemouth. Really, he is just going to continue to rely on substitute appearances. There are good fixtures for Bournemouth coming up, though, against Everton, Palace and Luton in the next 3. So him coming on for 20 minutes could well be better than some of your regulars that are even starting games. And certainly for larger leagues, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 teams, He's definitely somebody that needs to be picked up. Now, on to the most hidden gem picks. This is a player with less than 10% ownership in 16-team leagues. Last week's pick was Vitinho for Burnley, which was actually a successful pick again. He got an assist, he scored 5 points, which in the context of Game Week 29 was actually a phenomenal score. So, yeah, well done to any of you that picked up Vitinho. There were actually a good few options I was looking at this week. One was Dango Ouattara, who I mentioned quite a few weeks ago and made a little YouTube short about him the other day because I predicted that he would have an FPL points game week in which he hit double figures, which he did. Other players I had a look at are Noni Madeke for Chelsea, Jorginho for Arsenal. The player I'm going to go for, though, and again, it's maybe slightly boring, but that's kind of my go-to tactic in FPL draft, and that's Kwanzaa for Liverpool. It doesn't sound like there's a big injury for Konate, and he could well be back this weekend, but it may be all the excuse that Klopp needs to continue partnering Kwanzaa with Van Dijk. He's now started 4 of their last 5 in all competitions. And what a pickup he could be if he now ends up playing the majority of the remaining games for them. Some excellent fixtures coming up. Say he's by no means a guaranteed starter, but this is the most hidden gem pick and we are in the business of long shots. So that is it for this episode. A reminder that the waiver deadline will be processed on Friday the 29th of March at 11 a.m. ahead of the Saturday lunchtime kickoff between Newcastle and West Ham. If this is your first time listening to the pod, make sure that you're subscribed and following on whichever platform you're listening to so you don't miss out on any future episodes as they drop. If you haven't already gone over to draftfc.co.uk, as always, I would urge you to do so. Not long left of the season, but still a number of reasons to head over there with lots of points still to gain, lots of head-to-head wins to try and get where you want to be come game week 38. One thing I mentioned on one of the recent pods and something I'll continue to hammer as we approach the end of the season is our league history feature, which means come game week 38, once the FPL draft game wraps up for the 23-24 season, ordinarily all of your draft and league data will disappear and you will not be able to find it again. But if you are signed up to Draft FC come game week 38, you'll be able to store all of your league data from this season, and that will then be stored permanently so you can look back for years to come at all the wins, losses, good weeks, bad weeks, good luck and bad luck that you had, and be able to track your league over the years, because the majority of draft leagues run for a long time. Certainly our league is now heading into its 7th year, and you know, we regularly hark back to things that happened 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and being able to actually pull out individual things, particularly when people argue about what might have happened last year, is very nice to keep the league history running. If you haven't signed up at draftfc.co.uk before, you can get a 1 month free trial using the code DRAFTFCPOD, all capitalized one word, DRAFTFCPOD, and let you have a little peek at what the members get. You'll get full access for that 1 month. You can cancel any time, but I'm fairly confident you will want to stick around when you see what we've got going on behind the scenes. So that's it for this episode. Best of luck for the waivers ahead of Game Week 30. Because of the international break, I guarantee you there will be managers that forget, who have just kind of parked draft FPL to one side in their brain. So don't let that be you. Hope you get all the players you need to. Hope you get the wins in your head-to-head matchups this weekend. And as always, stay shook.